This is your KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, December 15th. I'm Lisa Young. On Wednesday, December 17th, KVNF Station Manager Ashley Crest and Program Director Brody Wilson will offer a behind-the-scenes look at KVNF during the Forum, which meets at 9 a.m. at CMU Montrose Cascade Hall on South 3rd Street and Cascade Avenue in Montrose. The event is free to attend. State Senator Faith Winter, a Democrat from Broomfield, was killed last month in a car accident. Winter played a key role in shaping policies on workplace harassment at the state capitol. This was driven in part by her own experience of being harassed by a fellow lawmaker. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Maeve Conran spoke with CPR reporter Binta Berkland, who first broke Winter's story while covering the Capitol for Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Well, Binta, thank you very much for taking time to talk to me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, back in 2017, it really was the height of the Me Too era, and you were covering the Colorado State House for Rocky Mountain Community Radio's CapCov project. So what was going on back then? How did Senator Winter's allegations first come about? How did you first hear of them?
Well, like you said, this was the height of the Me Too era, and it was not long after the New York Times broke that big story on Harvey Weinstein and a lot of talk around the country about what was happening in various workplaces. And I was on a call with NPR reporters from across the country, and they said, hey, what are you all seeing at your state legislatures? What's the workplace like? That prompted me to start asking around lobbyists, lawmakers, that question. Are we seeing cases of misconduct and harassment? And that eventually led me to then Representative Faith Winter.
So what was Senator Winter experiencing at the State House?
Well, a number of people had already talked to me about then Democratic Representative Steve Lebsack over allegations of harassment and misconduct. And Winter also singled him out specifically. She said he behaved inappropriately with her and he'd made unwanted advances and used vulgar language, and that he'd tried to force her to leave a party with him at the end of the session. And that was in 2016. And it's kind of a big end of session party.
He wanted me to leave the bar with him. I told him no. I told him to go home. The more I rebuffed him, the angrier he got, the more agitated he got. He tried to grab my elbow to get me to leave with him. And at that point, I didn't feel safe.
And when I first talked to her, no one had gone on the record yet. She was the first person willing to name her accuser publicly.
That public accusation and what followed had massive repercussions. Can you tell us ultimately what happened with those allegations and what happened with, as you said, then Democratic Representative Steve Lebsack?
Yes, it had huge implications. She's formally accusing a colleague, a Democratic colleague, they're in the same caucus in the House, of harassment. Initially, she put her name behind the accusation and then she filed a formal complaint. Eventually, months later, it led to his expulsion from the state legislature.
With 52 yes votes, 9 no votes, and 4 excused, H.R. 1005 is passed.
That was only the second time in state history, and to this day, it's the only second time in state history that a lawmaker has been expelled from the legislature. The first time was more than 100 years ago, also in the House.
Well, another twist in the story is that right before that vote for expulsion, Steve Lebsack switched party affiliations. We're calling him a former Democrat because he became a Republican just minutes before that vote.
Yes, that was an interesting twist. He switched his party affiliation when he saw how the vote was going to go. And one reason he did that was to make sure when he left, there'd be a vacancy. He wanted Republicans to fill that seat. When a lawmaker leaves before an election, there's a vacancy committee and members of their own party select their replacement. So that was his kind of final parting, you know, dig at Democrats because he was so upset with them over this expulsion vote.
Up until that point, though, it was playing out in very nasty ways. I know Winter was being called all kinds of names. There was a lot of nastiness on social media. What was the climate, the atmosphere like at the state capitol?
Yes, it was extremely combative, contentious, difficult, and also a lot of uncertainty. Lebsack went on the offense. He vehemently denied any of the allegations. He was running for state treasurer then, and he said Winter's claims and other women's claims were part of a political conspiracy by the Democratic establishment to get rid of him. At one point, I remember he distributed a 28-page document to every single House member, and that document included uncorroborated, sexually explicit allegations about Winter. And she said he repeatedly called her a liar, and he actually had a YouTube video designed to humiliate her. So she said it was just brutal each day, not knowing how she was going to be attacked next.
We're talking about a workplace. We are talking about a workplace that has turned so hostile that for people to be decent and stand with me, they fear for their life.
Well, this story was part of a whole national movement, as we said, around Me Too. But this particular story also became in and of itself a huge national story. So what was that like for you as the reporter, essentially breaking that story here in Colorado?
I think anything you're doing of that level of consequence that impacts so many people's lives, it's incredibly sensitive and challenging. And at the time I worked for the CapCov project, and everyone was just really supportive of continuing this work because Winter speaking out publicly did have a ripple effect. It opened the door for more people to come forward about allegations in the state Senate. Republicans controlled that chamber by one vote at the time, and they were very concerned about some of the political consequences of allegations against their members. And so even looking back, it's hard to kind of put the scope of how challenging it was politically, personally, professionally. And for Winter and everyone, we're all in that same Capitol building. So she's still working with Lebsack. I'm still working with the people who have allegations against them. You know, everyone's in this pretty confined space during the legislative session every day. So that makes it doubly challenging.
Well, what was the ripple effect? What were the lasting impacts on the Colorado State House? Not just the culture, the workplace culture, but there was some legislation and policy changes that came out of all of that.
Yes, that's right. The legislature hired its first HR employee to try to field complaints. And then that following year, Winter won a seat in the state Senate. She flipped a seat from red to blue, and she pushed forward a significant policy change on how complaints are handled. It no longer is solely decided by legislative leaders. There's a bipartisan committee of lawmakers that sets up a process for keeping things anonymous. But if there is a credible complaint against a lawmaker, some details of the complaint and the lawmaker's name are public. There's also an annual report on the number of complaints and how they're handled. So it tried to build in more transparency and make it more fair and encourage people that there is a process if they want to come forward. Because if you think about it, let's say you're a lobbyist or any number of people who work in the building, are you going to file a complaint against a member if the person who handles that complaint is the Senate president, who's also a member of the same party? You know, there was a lot of biases baked into the system. I don't think it's a perfect system now, but across the board, I think people feel much more comfortable with it. And Colorado would not have that system if Winter hadn't really advocated for it and helped craft it.
No, of course, we're having this conversation in the aftermath of the very tragic death of Senator Faith Winter. But this isn't the only thing that she's being remembered for right now. What were some of the other policies that she really pushed for and was successful with at the State House?
She was involved in so many different policies. She was a champion of transit. At one point, she chaired the Senate Transportation and Energy Committee. She sponsored some of the legislature's reproductive rights bills. And she was a huge advocate for an effort to establish a government-run paid family leave program. She tried to get that passed at the State House multiple times, and when it failed, helped get that on the ballot and voters approved it. So there's a lot that she worked on.
Well, Bent Berkland is with Colorado Public Radio and the Colorado Capital News Alliance, and formerly the CapCov reporter for Rocky Mountain Community Radio. Thank you very much for taking time to talk to me today.
Thanks so much, Maeve.
That's your KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Lisa Young.